Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
I'm not that tall. That's okay, you're good. All right, my name is Tyler Andrews. I'm a school pastor down in Florida in Boca Raton. That means I get to lead chapels at my school, and I get to teach Bible to 8th grade students. I love teaching the Bible. And I love Miracle Camp. It's been 9 years since I've been here, but I grew up coming here. I was in those seats that you sit in tonight. I loved coming to camp. I loved tubing. I loved Gold Rush, which I saw you playing tonight. I loved three-on-three basketball tournaments. I love meeting girls a little bit, too. Anybody agree that you like one of those four things? Anybody like one of those four things? All right. Actually, I'm not going to ask you which one you liked, okay? It worked out pretty well for me. I actually met my wife at Miracle Camp during my 8th grade year. My wife's name is Erin. You'll see her here this week. She's sitting in the back. You'll also see that after 17 years of marriage, we have 4 kids. 2 of them are campers this week, Mia and Molly. They've got some fans already. And then I also have 2 boys, 1 older and 1 younger than the girls, Owen and Jack. So you'll see us around. We love camp. And you know what? I love teaching God's word because it gives hope. And because it honors our King. The theme this week is Jesus is King. Tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11. So if you want to turn your Bibles, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, or the second half of the Bible. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 11. And I encourage you to take some notes. And actually, later on in this message, I'm going to ask you to write a few things down. But before we get to that, I'm going to get to know you and what you like a little bit through a little game of who is this? I'm going to put some descriptions on the board, and you're going to, on the count of 3, tell me who it's describing, okay? So let's see how much you know about these significant characters and figures. Description number 1, remember, wait till I say 1, 2, 3, okay? A high school student who gains superpowers after being bitten by a radioactive spider and becomes a crime-fighting superhero in New York City. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay. I thought some of you had probably seen those movies. Okay. Number 2. Now, wait for my count, okay? Wait for my count. Don't give it away. A popular singer-songwriter known for her catchy pop songs, emotional lyrics, and her ability to connect with fans through her music. 1, 2, 3. Any Swifties in the house tonight? Anybody score a ticket to a concert this summer? I don't know. Okay. Number 3. The iconic villain and Sith Lord who wears a black suit, helmet, and breathes with a distinct mechanical sound. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Okay. All right. This is a church camp, okay? So this is a church camp. I don't know if you knew that yet or not, okay? We're going to talk about the Bible, okay? Let me see if you know who this is describing. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Jesus!
All right. One more from the Bible, okay? Let's see if you can get this one. Who is this speaking about? A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. 1, 2, 3. Okay, a few less, but quite a few, okay? Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist and Jesus. from Matthew chapter 11, okay? Let's look at what it says. First six verses. Tonight I have all the words on the screen, but most nights and mornings we'll just have our Bibles in front of us and I'll read to you from the Bible, okay? So I want you to bring your Bibles to chapel. Feel free to write some notes on a piece of paper or in your Bible. Underline some phrases that stick out to you. Let's let God speak to us and let's be a little bit interactive about it, okay? All right, let's look at these verses from Matthew chapter 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Let's say a quick prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it reveals to us who Jesus is. Thank you, Lord, that it shows us that he is the promised king who we all need. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us tonight for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So this seems like a pretty straightforward, simple story at surface, but there's a lot underneath this story. John the Baptist is a character who was very significant at the beginning of the New Testament. He was actually Jesus' cousin. A relative of Mary had a boy. His name was John the Baptist. We learned that from Luke. So he's some cousin or relation. We know that John the Baptist, as the prediction that we read about John the Baptist a second ago said, he actually traveled around in the wilderness, but he didn't do it just to be alone. He actually told a lot of people, there's going to be the Messiah coming soon. Now, Messiah, that's a term that you may not know. Messiah means promised king, savior. The one who will rescue. John was actually telling people before Jesus started traveling around that Jesus was the Messiah who was to come, who was predicted in the Old Testament, and who was promised. So John talked a lot about Jesus. We find him, though, in verse 3, where? Look in your Bible, verse 3. Where is John when this particular story takes place? Back there. He's in prison. So, from prison, he sends some of his followers to ask Jesus, "Are you really the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" John knew full well the answer to that question. He knew who Jesus was, but because of his circumstances, because of the situation he found himself in, he's questioning everything. John was put into prison innocently by an awful ruler named Herod Antipas. And so he finds himself locked up in some form of prison cell, and he's questioning it all. When we find ourselves in discouraging situations, when we find ourselves in struggles that just won't stop, when we find ourselves in lonely positions, or when things just aren't working out the way we would expect them to, it causes us sometimes to question everything. John knew full well who Jesus was, but here he's saying to his followers, go to Jesus and ask him, what's up? Are you really the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Because right now, I'm in a prison, I'm miserable, I'm lonely, I'm discouraged, and it doesn't seem like you're doing what you came to do. At least, I'm doubting it. Have you ever had doubts? Have you ever had struggles? Have you ever had moments that were harder than you could bear, where you just started to question God. That's where John the Baptist, one of the holiest, most Christian men ever, finds himself in this story. So, how does Jesus respond? Well, he says these things. He says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. How does Jesus answer? He tells him the things that he is doing that show that he truly is the Messiah and is ushering in the kingdom of God on earth. Now, it's really interesting. The things that Jesus says he's doing connect with predictions made in the Old Testament. Have you ever caught that? The Old Testament, the first half of your Bible, is a story about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the nation of Israel and how they're God's chosen people. And then they find themselves in slavery in Egypt, but God leads them to freedom through Moses. And they set up a kingdom that's led by David. But then after a lot of really, 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 really awful kings, they find themselves back in captivity in Assyria and Babylon. And at the point of John the Baptist, the Jews, God's chosen people, they have some freedom to practice their faith, but they're still under the control of the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire overthrew the Assyrians and the Babylonians with Alexander the Great. And so at this point, the Jews, God's chosen people, are looking forward to this Messiah who's going to free Israel, who's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And John the Baptist is predicting it. He's traveling around at great cost to his own personal safety to tell that the Messiah is here. His name is Jesus. But John finds himself locked up in prison. And he's wondering, he's questioning everything. He's saying, Jesus, like, I've been doing my part. When will you start doing your part? But Jesus says, I am. It may not be in the way that you expect. Your life may not be the same way you thought it was going to be, or it might not be turning out how you thought it would turn out. But what I am doing is part of God's plan, and it is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. Okay, check this out. The next slide shows this prediction. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 to 6 says these words, then will the eyes of the blind be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. If you turn a page back in your Bible to Matthew 9, do it right now. In Matthew chapter 9, what do you see happening? In verses 27 and 28, what does Jesus do? So the little 27 and the little 28, what does Jesus do? Right there. Yeah, he healed the blind man. So he's doing what the Messiah was predicted to do all the way back in the Old Testament in Isaiah. If you look just a few verses later in verses 32 and 33, what's Jesus doing? In the back. Yeah, so this guy is possessed by demons and he's unable to speak. He's mute. Okay, but Jesus frees him and heals him. He makes the mute able to speak again. Again, fulfilling the predictions, the prophecies that had been made about the coming Messiah. So Jesus tells John the Baptist's followers, go back and report to John these things. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the dead are being raised, the mute are speaking, The power of God is at work. You may not feel like it right now, John, but I am working because I am the promised king. I am the Messiah that was predicted in the Old Testament. And he says, finally, in verse 6, he says, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Some of you may have it a little different in your Bible. If you have an ESV version of the Bible or translation, it says, "Blessed is the man who is not offended because of me." Jesus is saying, hang in there. Stay true to what God has told you to do. Be encouraged because the kingdom of God is coming. The promised king is here, and he is working. It may not feel like it to you now, but sometimes the things that we experience and that we feel give us a different perspective than God has at the moment. But what do you do, though? What do you do when your expectations of God don't match with your immediate situation or circumstances? What do you do with that? There's going to be times in your life, if you haven't experienced that already, when that's going to be how you feel. Life's not fair. Sometimes you'll be crying out to God, and you'll be just like, God, when will something go my way? When will something work out for me? There's going to be times when maybe you do go through some personal suffering like John the Baptist experienced here in prison. I hope you never go to prison, but there will be times when life is extremely hard for you. Maybe you've experienced some of that already. Maybe you've dreaded to go to school because you'll face the same mean kids again today that you faced yesterday. And you'll be thinking, God, I'm praying for help, but things aren't changing. I'm still miserable. Maybe you'll feel similar feelings to John when you feel alone, like there's nobody else who's a Christian like I am, or at least living like one. There's going to be times where you feel alone. There might be times when you have some intellectual questions that come up. God, I'm learning in science or in history about all these things, and it doesn't seem to match up with what I understand from the Bible. What do you do with that? There might be times where a friend of yours who was a really good, strong Christian, all of a sudden they're living a lifestyle that is completely opposite to what you know to be right. And you're thinking, God, I've been praying for this person to come to their senses, but they keep on doing the wrong things, and now I'm losing a friend. Have you felt like that before? Have you struggled before? Have you felt alone before? Have you felt discouraged that it just didn't seem like God was listening to you? I know I have. As we start this week of camp, I want to give you permission to wrestle with your questions, to admit your doubts, to do some business with God about the things that have discouraged you. It's a safe place to do that. You're going to have times this week with your cabin all together, and you're going to have times with your counselor one-on-one where you can wrestle through some of your questions, some of your doubts, some of the things that have discouraged you. And I encourage you to take advantage of that. It takes courage, though, right? To grow, it takes courage. It takes courage to face the things that are hard. But I want you to bring encourage your doubts and your struggles to God this week. And just see what he does. I think he'll meet you there if you're willing to lay out your heart to him. So to summarize, John wanted support. He wanted answers. And it felt like he was being abandoned by God in this lonely, miserable prison cell. And so he has this honest question. Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should I be looking for someone else? Because right now, my circumstances don't match with the expectations I had for what you were going to do and what you were going to use me to do. He was expecting more from Jesus. But Jesus reminds him who he is. I want you to write down these three things. Who is Jesus? He is the promised king. The Old Testament made these prophecies about a coming Messiah, a coming king. And in the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled these predictions, these promises. He is the promised king. He is the Messiah who was predicted in the Old Testament. And he is the Savior that we need today. The Jews knew they needed a Messiah to save them, to heal them. In the same way, 2,000 years later, you and I, we need a Savior. We need Jesus. He may not change your circumstances, or he may take a while to change your circumstances. In fact, this story does have a sad ending. John the Baptist never left that prison, from what we know, and he was beheaded, meaning they cut his head off. But Jesus said, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." So you might look at that story and think, how was John the Baptist blessed? Well, sometimes we think of blessing as being all of a sudden I become happier, or all of a sudden everything is fixed. But remember, as Christians, it's not just about this life. It's about an eternal one that's ahead. I believe that John the Baptist is richly rewarded in heaven for his role in the story of Jesus. And I believe that he's honored and rewarded by God in amazing ways for hanging in there to the end in his faith. Jesus warned his disciples that it would be difficult to follow him. And if you haven't experienced a time that's been difficult to be a Christian, I'm sorry, you're going to have those times. But blessed is the one who doesn't fall away on account of me. Blessed is the one who hangs in there, who keeps the faith, who keeps trusting the Lord. Will you trust Jesus even when your expectations of what he should do for you don't match up with your current situation? John was tempted to fall away based on his unfulfilled expectations. In other words, what Jesus hadn't done for him. But Jesus urges him to focus on what he already had done to fulfill the prophecies about Jesus being the promised king. So let's get honest, okay? If you have your pen, I'm going to close like this. I want you to make two columns, okay? So divide your paper in half. On the left-hand side, I want you to write down at least one thing that really discouraged you in the last year. It could be something that discouraged you because it just wasn't working out, because it was a struggle, because it was hard. Write down one thing that discouraged you in your faith and that really made it hard for you, that you just wanted God to fix that situation for you. And then on the left-hand column, I want you to write down one or two or maybe even more things that Jesus has done for you in the past year. It can be something that he made better. It can be a way that he caused you to grow. It can be something even more general. He offers you eternal life. He gives me hope. It can be general or it can be really specific. But what has Jesus done for you? Write down two or three things right now. As you go into cabin devotions tonight, I want you to be willing, if you're willing yet, to share some of those things. It'd be a great way to start off this week. Because we want to share the things that discourage us and the things that make us question and make us doubt so that we can encourage one another and so that we can continue to grow in our faith. But it comes as we focus on what Jesus has done for us. In the end, Jesus urges John the Baptist to focus on the things that God has done. And so I want you to try to train yourself that even when you feel low, to focus on the things that Jesus has done for you rather than the things that have not worked out yet. Okay? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.